When I was growing up, one of the virtues my mother passed along to me was a deep love for Broadway and classic MGM musicals. I had 6 Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals memorized by heart and knew more lyrics to Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals in high school than any of the popular music from the late 1990s. Which is why you should be very thankful that I did not sing my way through our gospel passage today, courtesy of Jesus Christ Superstar. Even as I sat down to write this morning's sermon, it was with my inner monologue, try not to get worried, try not to turn on to things that upset you. Oh, you know, everything's all right. Yes, everything's fine, and we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight. I never actually saw Jesus Christ Superstar, neither the stage nor the movie version. I did, however, research it a little this past week. I learned that Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice wanted to show the story of the human Jesus through Judas's perspective. Therefore, they do not address the divinity of Jesus, and Judas comes out looking, at least in this anointing scene, as less devious and more concerned about the poor. In fact, the lyrics leave out the part about Judas stealing money from their collections. Plus, the song has Mary trying to soothe Jesus into a restful sleep as he is clearly getting more and more anxious the closer he gets to entering his final week in Jerusalem. She intimates that the world can get by without him, at least for tonight. While the musical lacks much theology, especially when it comes to Jesus being anything more than a pop superstar, I do appreciate the deeper look into his humanity and his ability to feel anxious about those final days. He was fully divine, but he was also fully human. There were moments in his life and ministry where he was deeply emotional. In fact, in this passage, he is resting in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, dear friends of his. Jesus visited them several times in Scripture, and I imagine he spent time with them, which was not recorded as well. Martha felt comfortable enough with him to complain that Mary wasn't helping her in the kitchen one of those visits. Mary and Martha sent for him when Lazarus died. And Jesus wept before raising Lazarus back from the dead. Now he spends one of his final days with them before his arrest and crucifixion only 6 days later. I wonder what his demeanor really was that night. They were reclining together over dinner, and Martha, of course, was serving again. There are no words spoken before Mary begins to anoint his head and feet with nard oil. You all know what nard oil is, right? Of course. Well, for those of you, the one or two that don't, nard oil is an aromatic essential oil and perfume made from the spikenard plant, which is part of the honeysuckle family, for those of you who enjoy gardening. Judas asks why it was not sold for 300 denarii, which would have been about a year's salary at the time. It was used for anointing and for burial rituals, but usually only by the extremely wealthy or even royalty. Was Mary solemn when she anointed him? When she used her own hair to wipe his feet? Did she know that he was soon to be killed? Had she indeed, as Jesus said, bought it so that she might keep it for the day of his burial? Then there's that line that the poor will always be with us. This is a little disheartening, especially for a church that tries so desperately to alleviate poverty in our community and in our world. The condition of the poor seems more dire now than ever. And this week, our last week of Lent before Holy Week, it's hard for me to agree with the musical version of Mary that everything is all right. Everything, bless you, everything is not all right. People are hurting. People are starving. People are dying in the streets in Gaza, in Ukraine. Parents are struggling to feed and protect their children. While we make plans for our Holy Week celebrations, it feels like we're living out Good Friday, wondering if Easter Sunday is still going to come. At the time that our passage from Isaiah was written, the Israelites were living in exile. They were once again strangers in a strange land, separated from their homes, emotionally and metaphorically lost in the desert once more, just trying to make it through the wilderness of living. However, there was a glimmer of hope this time. In 539, King Cyrus of Persia defeated the Babylonians and announced that the Israelites could return to Jerusalem, that he would even help them to rebuild their temple. Our passage comes from what is considered 2 Isaiah and shows God's continuing work on behalf of his people. It is reminiscent of what God did, past tense, for the people in Egypt as they fled from Pharaoh, but it uses present participle to retell the story. Now, for all you non-English teachers out there, here's a tiny grammar recap. Past tense is completed action. Yesterday, I bought milk. The purchase is finished, completed. Present participle is ongoing action. I am learning Spanish. It's not complete, but it is still taking place. In this passage, God is still making a way through the sea and a path through mighty waters. God is still causing the armies with their chariots and horses to lie down without the ability to rise. God is still extinguishing them like a wick. All of this is, of course, a reference to the Israelites crossing the Red Sea and Pharaoh's armies being washed away by the waves. Yet even as God continues to do these things, 2 Isaiah tells us not to focus too much on what God has done in the past, for God is about to do a new thing. Just as God brought manna in the fields and water from a rock, God's new plan springs forth, making a way through the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It won't just be God's people that are quenched by this water, but all of creation, even the jackals and ostriches. We, like the exiles in Babylon, have been experiencing exile from the world as it should be. We, like Mary, sense that trouble is coming. Yet we have seen what God can do in the past, and God is still active in this world in the present, but he is doing something new, something unexpected. We may not know what that will look like yet, but we can be sure that it will be redemptive and powerful, and we have a part to play in it. There will be times of celebration when we wave palm branches and shout Hosanna, which means save us. There will be times when we feel like running away in fear, when all that we hold to be good and true seems to be snatched away from us, betraying us with a kiss. There may be even times when the light of the world is so dim that it seems all hope is lost. Friends, in the words of singer-songwriter Zach Williams, it might feel like Friday, but Sunday morning is coming. We are walking through the wilderness, but rest assured, God is with us. We feel parched in the desert, but God is making rivers spring forth. Do you perceive it? We prepare our Lord for burial, but Jesus, the Son of God, as always, is full of surprises. Keep your eyes open for what he might be up to next. Amen.